es dein, treuer Gott auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass dein Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gott und Glück, Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Leib und Leben, Herz und Sinn leg ich dir zu Füßen hin. Nimm mich und ich werde dein, gänzlich und für immer sein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Dankeschön. Amen. Wir setzen uns.
You may be seated.
Wir haben sicher alle mitgesungen.
You most surely have all tuned in into this song.
Für uns, die wir Gottes Wort glauben
and
dürfen,
we who we may believe God's word
dürfen,
and who we may believe God's promises and receiving
hat,
what God has given us, it has really a great meaning for us. A meaning have only the experiences for us which we make personally with God. If somebody was sick and was healed, it has a meaning for him. Another one who just hears it, he hears it, but it does not have the same meaning for him. The same it is with salvation, with forgiveness, with grace. Only then, when we have experienced it personally, then it gets a meaning for us. Only when we recognized that God's word remains forever, only then the meaning of the forever remaining word is revealed to us. Namely, when we got it personally revealed, when we feel and sense that we have been directly included into the plan of salvation of our God. If we heard this song now properly, it was emphasized, "Wash me in Jesus' precious blood." Brothers and sisters, this is the kernel of what it is about. Many times we have said it here. In the Garden of Eden was the interpretation of what God has said. And that became the snare for Eve. God spoke very clearly, and the enemy came and put a question mark behind it. And he said, "Has God said that you will surely not die?" The enemy starts with questioning of what God said. And then he continues with the adding, "And whoever listens to him will fall for it." There's just no getting away. As we are hearkening to God and getting by it under the divine influence, so all men who have become a prey of all the interpretations, they are simply separated from God. Because both things together we cannot have. Either we have the word or we have the interpretation. And therefore, the word of God remains forever. This was our subject from the first circular letter, 1966, when we started to carry the word of the Lord. The headline said, "The word of God remains forever." And by it, it remains really up to the end. Peter summarized it in his first epistle, in the first chapter, in the last verses, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. And then he has written, and he said, "This is the word which we preached unto you as the gospel." Not another word, not another gospel, but the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, we will not go into details of the recent events. We all heard about it, that the world is being haunted down, that birth pains are coming upon the earth. It's labor pains, as it is with a woman who is in expectation. There comes a time for her when the labor pains are setting in, and after the labor pain comes the birth. And so it is also in the natural realm. The birth pains are coming first, and therefore the word is written in Matthew 24, verse 8. "These are the beginning of sorrows." The beginning of sorrows. Also here, we must pay attention to every word to see the connection in which Bible prophecy was written. We witnessed the floodings in the USA with much sorrow and pain. Also that what happened in Bavaria and Austria and Switzerland, we heard that the city of Bern was underwater. It was, of course, for us very really new. No one would ever have expected such. Or the nice city of Luzern, also partly underwater, and also in Austria. But that, what happened in the States, it is just as one reporter said, this is the fist of God. This is the fist of God. Not the hand, but this is the fist of God. He brought it to the point with this statement. That what happened there, it is the fist of God. What shall one say to all of this? I don't want to make any remark here, which actually would fit here. But maybe it should be said here. Mr. Bush, who has the Bible in the White House, who has Pat Robertson as one of his best advisor, one of the well-known preacher, a TV preacher in the USA, he tramples underfoot what is written in the Bible. And this may just not be. How can a man in the garden of the White House, he takes his dog for a walk, and at the same time in the Iraq the terror is being done, and hundreds and thousands are getting homeless, mothers and children who have nothing to do with terror and war. And then the preacher's breakfast and the glory hallelujah. And then we are a great nation. No, also this we have heard. Our Lord, there where he did the greatest miracles, there he announced the judgment. And he said, if in Sodom and Gomorrah would have taken place what has taken place here with you, then it would still stand today. And behold, has God ever done at any time in a country what he did in the United States? And behold, all TV evangelists, they bypassed it and have not taken heed to what God promised according to his word. And they had influenced the people, and by this they undermined the divine influence of the divine message. And therefore we must not marvel that the judgment will come, and at the latest when the West Coast will break away, and Los Angeles with everything with it, with the whole coast 1,600 kilometers long, when then this judgment comes on top of it, what is then left? We are sorrowful for all who are affected. We are sorrowful for every nation which does not recognize what is for their peace. And to our peace is only what God has promised and given us in this time. The other things, we don't want to go into details like the 10-day military exercise of Russia and China to get the world terror under control. We don't want to mention it. We did it yesterday already. The far north and then the east is joining, and then comes that what is written in the book of Revelation. But then the church is no more here. We will be with the Lord during that time. So, with us, it is about the preparation, about the calling out, so that everything is being brought back again into its right condition. We also mentioned the Gaza Strip, the evacuation of the 21 settlements, and also that it doesn't help anyone to embrace the Torah and to sing some kind of songs. The Torah belongs into the hands and hearts of those who are ready to do what is written therein. The same way it's with the Bible. The Bible is not here that all are interpreting how they wish, but that everything is believed what is written therein. And then we would have no problems anymore. But when I heard this with the Torah, I contacted the Jewish community here, and I just said, we would like to have a Torah in the house of God. And the man said, huh, Mr. Frank, that's all right, but are you aware of the price? And I was thinking by myself, price? Torah? Price? And then he said, we just got recently a new Torah, and it costs exactly 30,000 euros. 30,000 euros. And then I, of course, lost the courage to put up a Torah here. But then he said, I see already that you cannot believe this. But I was thinking by myself, how precious is to them that what God has said in His Word. There's one single man who writes by hand the Torah from the first up to the last letter. And if he makes just one mistake, he must start from scratch. He may not correct one mistake in the Torah. He must, from the beginning up to the end, he must write without making one mistake. And then it, of course, takes a long time and it gets expensive. Let us come to our word observation, being thankful in our hearts that God has given us the access, that He opened our understanding for the Scripture. And to be honest, every evangelist, every preacher, all of them, they can open up the Bible and they can read the same verses which we are reading. But then the question, to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has recognized the day of God's gracious visitation? To whom are the promises for this time a heart's desire? Brothers and sisters, that what means everything to us, all the others are despising. And it's the same now with us. What means everything to them means also nothing for us. It's just a difference which God has made. And the sentence in the prophet Malachi, where both promises are given, the one for the first coming and for the second coming. On that day, ye shall see the difference between him who serves God and between him who does not serve God. The difference will be manifested. Let us read a couple of scriptures. The first one from the Gospel of Luke 21, connected with a question. First Luke 17, because here is the actual question. Luke 17, verse 34 and 35. Here it's written, I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. The question was and is whether with this a couple can be meant, that the one is taken and that the other left. Brothers and sisters, with us, it has become like that, that we do not put our own thoughts into one single word. We respect the word as it is written here. The first verse gives us the impression as it would be two men. I don't even want to think about it. I'm honest. That two men are lying in one bed who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. This I couldn't stand. But the impression one could have here, and just last Thursday, just a couple of days ago, I met the chairperson of a German political party in Düsseldorf in the VIP lounge, and I recognized him on the first spot, and I was asking whether it is permitted to speak with this gentleman who can be seen on TV every day. And I was permitted. I spoke to him. I don't want to say details now. The conversation was very short. And then I hear that this man is one of the homosexuals who are a shame for our whole country. We are not here to put up a measuring rod. However, the measuring rod of the Word of God, we must put up. The measuring rod of the Word, we do not let any man take from us. Sodomy is sodomy. And wrong is wrong, and homosexuality is a denial of the creation order of God. God made man, God made a woman, and God made the woman for the man, and not a man for a man or a woman for a woman. This one must be permitted to say. If one could not say this anymore, where is then the preaching of the Word of God? And here's the point. Brothers and sisters, also these things must be spoken of. If they are not spoken of, then the people who are affected have no chance to get delivered of it. First, they must hear the word, and they must believe, and then they must be set free. But let us come to our observation now. Be it woman or man, two will lay on one bed. Here it is really only about the comparison. At the first comparison, it is night time. At the other one, It's daylight. The one is sleeping and the others are awake and are working. And so we see the rapture will be universal. Here day, there night. But it will come. And so we must really be watchful and ready to be part of it on that glorious day when our Lord returns. Now some scriptures which shall show us how important obedience is in connection with faith. In Hebrews, in chapter 3, the word, the apostle showed us how important the obedience is in connection to faith. Hebrews chapter 3, a word often quoted and often preached. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief leads into the falling away. Faith leads out of the fall. Faith leads us into the restoration. Faith leads us onto the ground of promises, as we looked at yesterday from the Holy Scripture. So, faith steps upon the ground of promises, which God has given us in His Word, by His grace. And only by this we will enter into the rest of God on our inside. If this does not happen, then we remain in a state of unrest. Then uncertainty will on and then come upon us. If we didn't receive, accept, and experienced the promise by grace. Then the warning and admonition to all of us in chapter 4, in verse 1, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. This is, of course, the purpose of the preaching in our time, that really no one of us would turn out to be left behind at the rapture. Not the unbelievers will be disappointed, but those who went out to meet the bridegroom, but who were not ready to experience the translation, because that word in Matthew 25 is not directed to those who went home, like for instance in 1 Thessalonians In chapter 4, from verse 13, there we are told what will happen when the Lord returns. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be changed. But in Matthew 25, the word is directed to those who are alive now. And to be more clear now, it's directed to you and to me, to all of us. To us, who we are now hearing the wake-up call. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Preached was it since a long time. But now the time is fulfilled. And how many of us, and I'm convinced it's all of us, but to be sure, therefore I'm asking, are we all, based upon the Holy Scripture, based upon the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, based upon the promises which God has given us, are we all convinced with all our hearts that this is the last generation and that the return of Jesus Christ cannot be postponed? For you, who you are believing God's word, it will be incomprehensible now. But yesterday, our beloved brother Hans Henrich, he told me that he spoke to a very old Pentecostal preacher who already in the late 30s has experienced and witnessed the supernatural blessings when he was still a child. And when our brother asked him how it is with the return of Jesus Christ, then he said, this is only after the millennium. Yes. And then we don't know anymore what to say. But there is a Pentecostal movement. There were two brothers. It were the Jeffrey brothers in Wales. The one believed that everything will be after the millennium, and the other one believed that everything will be before the millennium. And they have already at the beginning of the 20s, at about 1923, they have split up the revival. The one believed the tribulation to be before the rapture, and the other one believed the rapture to be after the millennium, and both separated. And there were two main Pentecostal directions in all of the country. If both would have been right-minded and would have understood that also the book of Revelation was of course not written in a chronological form, but the events itself let us know of what it is about in that connection. And those who say that the return of Jesus Christ will only happen after the millennium, they refer to Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Holy Scripture. Because here it is written, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, just think of it one moment. Everywhere, be it in Revelation 19, be it in Revelation 20, everywhere, certain events are shown to us, which are connected to the various comings of our Lord. For instance, when the Lord returns as bridegroom, then before that, no sun must be darkened and no moon has to turn into blood. But when he comes as the Son of Man, then only after the great tribulation, when the sun is darkened and when the moon turns into blood. One must read precisely, where does it say Son of Man? Where does it say Bridegroom? Of what is it about when we read a text in the Holy Scripture? I have here 22 questions which were addressed to me from all over the world. And you would marvel of what kind of questions are existing among the people. And many of them I even left out. And to these questions belongs also whether the Lord, as Son of Man, has come already. And I just wanted to have a biblical reason for the answer. And I went to the Holy Scripture. And behold, in this glorious book of God, everything is written. But really, everything. And for this, we are thankful. Now, just to bring this subject to a close, here in Matthew, in chapter 24, in verse 29, or from verse 29, we read about the coming of the Son of Man. Not about the coming of the bridegroom. And here we have the answer. Matthew 24 from verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then, so afterward, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Here we have such a profound insight into that, what will happen in this connection. Brothers and sisters, we are not exalting ourselves above others, but we also don't want that others are exalting themselves above God and His Word. This we also don't want. There we are not watching upon, but then we are opening up the Bible and say, it is written. Immediately after the tribulation. How can somebody tell me that this has taken place already 1963 up to today? It did not happen yet. And therefore, we have the task worldwide to serve all the ministering brethren with the Holy Scripture, to rightly divide the word of truth so that others can pass it on, and giving to God's people divine clarity from the word of God. That's what it's about today. And when we say that we think nothing of interpretations, then this is actually a mild expression. If one wanted to say it more sharp, then one just would have to use the term, I abominate every interpretation. And when does the interpretation come into existence? If one doesn't go with a statement back to the Holy Scripture, but also taking the statements of Brother Branham out of context and then establishing one's own doctrine out of it. This time is over for all who want to stand approved before God. And to whom it doesn't matter what is being taught or what is not being taught, to him one can confidently say, dear brother, dear sister, with you the Lord did not yet speak at all. Firstly, one must be ready to hear the true, clear word of God. Only then God can speak with us and can reveal his word to us. With people who know already everything, with them God can't even speak. They could rather teach him. And this is impossible. We have emphasized it here many times. It is about the key word, always about the key word, which belongs to the event. And then the event is being described to us in detail. If you read and heard properly, then all eyes shall see him, and all tribes of the earth shall mourn. Go with this to Revelation 1, and all eyes shall see him, also they who pierced him. Go with this to the prophet Zechariah, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and all tribes shall mourn. And then the tribes are listed. So, always back to the word. Always the question, what does the Holy Scripture say? Also about the subject of the seven thunders, one shouldn't even think it to be possible. I was thinking that 27 directions of and about thunder doctrines would be enough. And behold, new ones are coming up continually. And then one thunder brother accuses the other thunder brother. You are in error. You don't see it correctly. And then the other one, you are in error. You don't see it correctly. To be honest, it's not something to smile about, but we are always coming to the same point. It's brothers who have lost the respect for the word of God, which remains forever. And therefore they are interpreting the statements of Brother Branham, and if they at all open up the Bible, then happens what Peter wrote in chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he wrote it, that the unstable misunderstand the Holy Scripture and also misunderstand what Paul has written. And they twist it unto their own destruction. How simple is it when one just goes to the Word and gets the connection from the Old to the New Testament. And this is the connection with God. The red thread between the Old and the New Testament is the Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy of the Old Testament connects with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the New Testament. What good is it for people if they read, we have a more sure word of prophecy, if they not even think about to search in the word of prophecy, to know what the word of prophecy says about it. You all know. We appreciate the ministry of all the prophets, the ministry of all the apostles. But really, just some days ago, I answered an email, and it was about Brother Branham. And then I indeed had to write, Brother Branham was not a promised teacher. He was a promised prophet. Also, this has a meaning. God promised a prophet. And just take the prophets. They didn't place anything, even our Lord. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, our Lord says, in one single verse, some will rise unto the resurrection of life, and the others unto the resurrection of judgment. He didn't place anything yet. In one sentence, he spoke it. He put it there, full stop. And then we see Paul, who indeed, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, you can all read it up. This is, of course, that place which has a direct personal meaning for me concerning the ministry. But here Paul is writing, he really writes, I almost said, he writes globally by mentioning two different events in one single breath. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead. And now it comes. At his appearing and at his kingdom. For his appearing, we are waiting now. And the kingdom reign will start when he, after the wedding supper, together with his own, descends. And when here the millennial reign is being proclaimed. About this, we could read a few scriptures, especially Revelation 11 from verse 15. But I just want to say, in one single breath, it was spoken out of the appearing. We are waiting for the return, for the appearing of our Lord. And then, John writes, of course, in his epistle, 1 John, and here, chapter 3, 1 John, chapter 3, from verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We cannot go into the teaching part of these subjects. But for us, it is just about to show all the brethren worldwide and to show all of God's people that the time of interpretations are over once and for all. Interpretations caused splits Interpretations have torn the body of the Lord into pieces, and it were always brethren who thought to be especially blessed, or who thought to be especially pardoned. But then they made the statement, or at least they were thinking, I will, I will. And this does not fit into the kingdom of God at all. Of our own, we must not want to do anything anymore, but only what God wants. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not the interpretations, but the word unites. And if we look at the body of the Lord in our time, and seeing the ones are following that one and are in that doctrine, the others follow that one, and again, I'm asking you, is this the church of Jesus Christ? If we on this earth cannot gather and sit together in the same building in the presence of God, and when He prepares the table for us here through His holy and revealed word, if we cannot eat here at the same table, how can we sit there at the same table and celebrate the wedding supper? This is just impossible. Do you think in heaven arguments can go on? And here's the problem. What was not solved before cannot be solved then. As the tree falls, so it remains lying. Also with believers it's like this. And if we are found in such condition at the return of Jesus Christ, what then? Then is fulfilled. Five were foolish, and five were wise. And when I say here today that the foolish ones have fallen prey for every foolish interpretation, and actually were following men who told them something about the end time message, but who have themselves not received at all the real end time message, which includes all the promises and all of the Word of God. They did not receive it. And in fact, they are bypassing it. Perhaps they are even driving past. I don't want to get too personal now, but it could be that 250 meters from here, in northerly direction, some car is driving past, where people in it are looking here on the way, and on the way back, they look again here, making their judgments, and are just driving past. I'm asking you, could I bypass what God did in the ministry of Brother Branham before my eyes, like all the other evangelists, who of course made their own thing out of it? And when even the Vatican writes that 500 evangelists came forth from the ministry of Brother Branham, then one just has to say, and all 500 bypassed what God promised and did and is still doing in our time. To whom did it then profit? Of course, no man. And so, all have built their own kingdom within the kingdom of God. and have drawn disciples after themselves. Brothers and sisters, don't think here it is about me. Please, forget now the tool. Forget the mouthpiece. It is about you. It is about us. It is about to be or not to be. It is about whether we believe the truth, which has set us free from all error, whether we put our feet of faith onto every promise. Also, this is a promise which Brother Branham received 1933. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so the message which was given to you will forerun the second coming of Christ. May we ask this question to all the brethren who refer to the prophet and to the message? May we ask them, is this correct? What the Lord said to his prophet? And then we should ask the second question, why did you not find grace to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, to agree with God, and to receive and accept the word for this time? In one answer, I gave the example that prophets have just brought the word, so to say, in a large measure. One could compare it like this. If one goes into a large supermarket, there all the food which one needs is stored up. But this food is not yet a meal on the table in your and my house. Only the prepared meal on the table. And therefore it is written, you are preparing unto me a table in the presence of mine enemies. The table of the Lord was richly prepared. We did not come here and have poured out the things to you in buckets. We have come here with a divine commission to rightly divide the word of truth, to bring it unto the table of the Lord, so that all can eat, and all that all can be full, and all can rejoice about the rich goods of the house of our God. Not just the thought that on the cross of Calvary all the powers of the enemy were conquered. But now coming back to last night, the land not occupied was that strip which became a snare throughout thousands of years and even up into our time. God has set up the borders as they are written already in the five books of Moses and in Joshua. And thereby it remains. In the same way, to us was given a limit, and we can and will not go beyond God's word. And even we have to wait a longer time, yet we will not put strange fire onto the altar. But one thing should really touch us. Namely, that we are almost forced to pray more serious, asking God that He endues us with the power from on high. Because that's how it is written. And that's how it must become by His grace. Be honest. What good is it for us if we look at Matthew 25 and would not say, dear brothers and sisters, the difference is therein that all virgins were born again, that all virgins experienced the grace of God, that all virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, that all virgins slept, and then came the wake-up call. And this midnight cry, only those heard who were then ready to fill up also their vessels with oil. Brothers and sisters, we need a baptism with the Holy Ghost and with fire, a filling with the Holy Spirit as it is promised to us in the Word of God. By the way, that is the promise which our Lord Himself emphasized as being the promise of the Father. Remain in Jerusalem until ye receive the promise of the Father. Everything else are promises, but the filling with the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. And we will come to it in other preachings which are ahead of us. When our Redeemer was baptized, the heavens opened and the Spirit came down. The anointing, the filling, He was the temple, and now the temple was filled, and behold, His ministry started as the anointed one, as the sent one. Just as Bible prophecy foretold it in many places. One of these places, Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. We have there a description. You can read it up in Matthew 12. And then we come to the redeemed. As the Son of God was begotten by the Spirit and was born, and as He then was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, so it is with us. We are hearing the Word. We receive it. And the Spirit of God comes on and then upon us. Also at the new birth. Without the Spirit, no new birth. Brother Branham described it like this. It is the same Holy Spirit. For instance, if one finds a dirty vessel, first one picks it up, and then it is washed in water, and when it is clean after being washed, then it is filled with the same water. And the same way it is with the new birth by the Spirit and from the Spirit and with the filling with the Holy Spirit, where we become a visible temple of God, just as Jesus Christ, as Son of God, could say, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. It was a temple, a dwelling place, a house in which God dwelt. Because God is Spirit. And now the Holy Scripture says, ye are the temple of the living God. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. So both. the birth by the Spirit and the filling with the Spirit. And I tell you, in that moment where we are aware that without a biblical Spirit baptism, without the sealing with the Holy Spirit, after we heard and received the word of truth, without it, we cannot participate in the rapture. In that moment comes the inner desperation upon us, and we will not find rest until we found it in God. Brothers and sisters, I told it to you before, the preaching at this place and worldwide must bring forth as a result a prepared, a called out, a word bride which is in agreement with all of the Scripture. Without any mixing, these times are over. This is God's time for His people. Do not listen to any so-called message, but be sure that you believe as the Scripture has said. And you know very well, God has revealed His word unto us by His grace. We do not need to adjust anything. Everything is there where it belongs. And we have respect and reverence before that word, this word. Think also about two scriptures, Philippians 1 from verse 6, and then also Colossians 2 from verse 13. We could still read some places. Our time is up. Now just in closing, as sure as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to us, becoming man, coming in the likeness of man, of flesh and blood, tempted in all things, just as we are being tempted. That's how we read it in Hebrews. And yet, without sin, so that He could take all of our sins upon Himself, and taking our disobedience on Himself, to be obedient unto the death on the cross. And so, by this was fulfilled that God was in Christ, reconciling the world with Himself, and in Christ triumphing over all the power of Satan, abolishing the enmity and giving us the forgiveness and reconciliation by grace. Let me say it here clearly. He who nourishes enmity has not yet experienced reconciliation personally. He who cannot forgive has not yet experienced personally forgiveness. Only that, what we experienced personally, we can live out, and we can also pass it on by grace. I'm filled with great hope and faith. I still wanted to read you the word from Philippians 1 verse 6. He who started the good work in us, He will also finish it unto the day of His return. And we may say to all the world, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have the word of prophecy as our measuring line. And the word of prophecy was revealed to us And it shines as a bright light in a dark place. What is left for us is to say thanks and to give praises unto our Lord. And in connection with this, also to pray, dear Lord, fulfill thou the promise of the Father with all sons and all daughters. Once again, why not promise of the Lord? Why not promise of God? Why promise of the Father? Because we have been taken into the sonship. Because in Christ we received the adoption as sons. And all sons and daughters of God have the right to the promise of the Father to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Then comes a new refreshing of which the world will still hear. As I said last night, in the moment we are hearing, we as the church are hearing what is happening on the earth. The moment comes where on earth will be heard what God is doing in and through the church. Can you all believe it? Because thus it is written, not by a prophet, not by a man of God, not by an apostle, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit it will happen, saith your God. And his Spirit rules in our midst and leads us until we will have experienced the last promises. The Lord God be highly praised and glorified now and forever. Be blessed, all ye ends of the earth, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord. Let us thank first all together by giving praise to him. And we have all reason to thank him. To thank him for that what God did already. To thank that he has led us up to here and that he kept us. To thank that he will be with us until we experience the completion. And then coming from believing unto seeing. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, we see the fulfillment of Bible prophecies and of the predictions. We heard of the tsunamis, of all the devastations. Now again an earthquake or a storm in China. It just goes over all the earth. As written, his judgments are coming upon the whole earth. And time and again, our Lord says, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads and pray that you might receive strength. Receive strength to escape all things which will come upon the face of the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. And then it's written, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? Here we have the prophetic part. Oh, how wonderful is the word of our God. How wonderful he revealed all the connections. Brothers, you who minister with the word all over the earth, believe that God is with you and with all of us, because we alone let ourselves be lined up according to His word. And we all at this place, all over Europe and in all the world, we thank God that He has visited His people, and from all peoples, tongues and nations He calls out. One question: has the end time message reached in truth and clarity to the ends of the earth?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That always another sower comes behind. We can nothing for it. But the first sower, he sows the word of God. And the seed which sprang up are the children of God. The children of the kingdom of God. The other sower comes behind and has his own seed, the seed of discrepancy, which causes strife and which brings forth splits. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the difference will be made manifest between those who walk in the ways of God, who do not add anything to the word of God, and who do not take anything from it, to be a true word bride by grace. And if this is your decision, to be a word bride and to be part of it, then say Amen. And if you all want to tune in into this prayer, that the Lord God fulfills His promise in all sons and daughters, namely the promise of the Father to fill all of us with the Holy Spirit. That's how it was in the book of Acts. That's how it was at the beginning. And we have been brought back to the beginning. And as there the place was shaken, listen closely, on the day of Pentecost, the heaven opened. And the people, the 120, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then thousands were added. And 3,000 believed on the same day and were baptized. And the promise in verse 39 applied also to them. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. This is the beginning. This is the platform. This is that moment when the church came into existence.
In
Acts chapter 4, the church is already assembled. In chapter 4, the prayer ascends up to the throne of God. And there, the place was shaken. We need both. We need Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4,
and
up to the 28th chapter. We need the full restoration of all that what was at the beginning. Put your foot of faith today on these promises. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And now,
we
want to thank God
that we can
step upon all the promises and that God will fulfill them, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. And then the enemy will be under our feet, and faith will be the victory which God has given us by grace. I'm asking that Brother Russ comes now and that we all pray together. But today we will pray and today we will thank.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to the Lord God. We are thankful to the Lord for the grace which He has given us, that we could come to hear His word, the truth which comes from His word. We have all reason to bring Him all the praise and worship. Let us do it together. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee from the depth of our hearts for Your mighty message on this weekend. You have spoken yesterday. You have spoken today. You did not cease to speak to Your people in the Old Covenant, and You are not ceasing to speak in the New Covenant. Thank You for Your grace which You have given us. Thank You for the salvation. Thank You for the message. Receive the glory and the praise and the honor from all our mouths and our hearts. You know who we are. We are just people, forgetful and weak. But You can strengthen us. I ask it in Your wonderful and glorious name. Praise, honor, and glory and adoration be unto You, now and forever. Bless Your people. Let Your Spirit fall upon all of us, as it happened on Pentecost. We ask it in Your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters, precious friends, do we have still special prayer requests which we want to bring to the Lord, our God? Raise your hands if there are still prayer requests. God bless you. Have you been strengthened in faith? Have we received by faith that God has taken the responsibility for all the promises to fulfill them in those who believe them? As it was with Mary. Oh, blessed art Thou, for you believed. Be it unto you as you believed. Be it unto you according to the word of the Lord. Also unto us it will be done according to the word of the Lord, if we believe as the scripture has said. God does not make empty words. His covenant with us remains. His promises are valid until eternity. And for this, we will once again thank God. We are glad for all the answers of our prayers. We have also seen our sister Freudhöfer, who was really in trouble. She could hardly walk upright. She was without hope. No hope for recovery. And yesterday, she stood in the office, upright. God is still the same. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, let us believe so that we see the glory of God. Today, at this place, it shall be manifested that the Lord God is in our midst. Let us sing the chorus, "This is the day."
Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Lasset uns froh und dankbar sein, lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht.
Jetzt beten wir.
Now we pray for all who had raised their hands. Great God, in looking up to you, our soul is still. And as we heard in Psalm 16, you are at our right side. You are exalted to the right hand of majesty, and your right hand upholds the victory forever. And your victory is our victory. We thank thee for the redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for the word of truth, for the word of God. We thank thee for the Spirit of truth, for the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all the truth. Dear Lord, it is also written that we should come into all the fullness of God. We not only want showers of blessing or drops of blessing, we want the latter rain. We want that you, O Lord, will shake the heaven and the earth. Now you're doing it by natural catastrophes to make people aware. And we pray for all who are affected in all the countries. And we pray that you are calling your own out, that you speak to them, and that you show them that now the predictions of the Scripture are being fulfilled worldwide before our eyes. Dear Lord, you God of Israel, we pray for the people of Israel, and we pray that the moment comes, and it will come, where the veil is taken away from their hearts and from their eyes, where the written word becomes the revealed, the living word. As you said in the five books of Moses, and as you said in the book of Acts by Stephen about Moses, who received living oracles, the living words we also received. And as written in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is quick and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. You came for a division into this world. And at first, you separated the light from darkness. Dear Lord, and it has become light at our time. We thank thee for it. And you have drawn a clear separating line between light and darkness, between word and interpretations. And we thank thee that we, by your grace, may stand on the right side. Dear Lord, now we pray once again for all who are in trouble, who had raised their hands. You know what they need. You know what they are praying for. Give them now the assurance of faith to have received for what they have prayed for. And according to Mark chapter 11, from verse 23 on, it shall be done unto them. That's how you promised it. And we thank thee for the answering and for the fulfilling of thy word on all our brothers and sisters and in all of us. To you, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and glory and adoration forever. In Jesus' holy name, Amen. Amen. Amen.